everyone, this is Mary from Rock of Life Fellowship. I lead the praise and worship music, and I'm also one of the youth and teen leaders. Rock of Life is a new place in Chico where people gather to learn that Jesus is real, always relevant, and wants a relationship with you. Each week, Pastor Alfredo shares a message from the Word of God that is current, relevant, and challenges us to grow our relationship with Jesus. Pastor Alfredo is also a worship leader and former singer of the Christian rock band JBC. We get together each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 2090 Amanda Way at the Little Chico Creek Elementary School, two blocks past Winco off Forest Avenue. Now here's Pastor Alfredo with a recent Rock of Life message.
There's a theme that we've been talking about since almost the very beginning, and that's about being in the will of God. I mean, just striving to be in the will of God and pleasing Him and loving Him and making sure that we're every day, we're trying to live the way the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us and guides us. It's been a huge focus of ours since the very beginning. So if you heard last week, we were talking about how striving to live in the will of God. And sometimes as things happen, you kind of lose that passion once in a while. You kind of lose your focus, your direction. It doesn't have to be something bad happens. Sometimes things are going great, and we just kind of veer off to the left or to the right, and we lose that focus and passion. So we talked about the three H's, and the first H was humility, humbleness, absolutely. It's about God, not me. And the second H was hunger. You want to please God more than anything. You want to breathe in the Spirit, breathe out the Spirit. You just want to put Him first in everything. You want to hunger and thirst for His righteousness, and you want to strive to please Him. Amen? And the third H?
Holiness.
Holiness. Somebody's fast over there. Holiness. And absolutely, because what are we striving for? What does God's will say that we are to passionately follow? And that's His will. It's holiness. So I'm going to read to you real quick. Hebrews 12:14, and I'm on fast speed right now. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. This is in Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Some translations say strive. And we acknowledge the fact is that we can't become perfect, but we can strive for holiness. Every day we can get up and say, today, Lord, it's you and me. Today I'm going to do everything you want me to do. And if I fail somehow today, I'll be better tomorrow. But it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. When we talked last week, I gave you the biggest question, like the top number one question that people usually ask me, or I've heard, and that is, how do I know? No, that's not it, but how do we know God's will for me? What is His will? What's His plan for me? Then we reviewed Galatians 5, because in Galatians 5, which is like my favorite book in the Bible, it talked about what the Lord describes as living a holy life as. Next slide. That's okay, I can read that. That's fine. We can read Galatians 5. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, and it gives this nice list of what living in the world is about. Sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, with wild parties, wild ungodly parties. I've been to some Christian parties that are pretty wild. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that no one living that sort of life will inherit the kingdom of God. So we were describing what a worldly life is and what a holy life is, because we wanted to know, what does it mean, striving for holiness? So when you read something like that, you got to think, who wants to live that way? I don't want to live that way, and I just don't want to. Then some of that, I look at that and go, I don't want to live that way anymore. So last week, after we were done going through this, I walked away and I was pleased, but yet I felt like God was saying, no, you're not quite done with this message yet. You need to go a little bit deeper. Because we know that we are to please God. We're to live the life that he has for us. But I felt like we need a little bit more actions, a little more how-tos, you know, how to live this life. And most of all, why? Why is it so important to be in the will of God? Romans 12:1-2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. That is truly the way to worship Him. Here's the big part, and here's a highlight for you. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will. Again, you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So it's really clear. And take it from me. I mean, use me as the number one example. There is definitely something God's telling us about a holy life and a worldly life. There is a way to please Him and not please Him, to live in His will and to not be living in His will. God says that the way to show Him that we love Him is to worship Him, to give Him our bodies, our actions, our thoughts, and not to live like this world or even think the way the world does. So when you want to know, can you go back to that list real quick, Tony? When you want to know what it is, the customs and the ways of this world, just look at the list on the left. You can read this in Galatians 5. Remember, I quoted Romans 12. Basically, what it's saying is once we identify and we know the customs and the ways of this world, we're to run from it. This cannot be part of our life. You see that list? We're not just supposed to go through the motions of doing what is right, but it says to change the way we think, our core, to even prevent thoughts from coming into our head. And if they do, stop them. Change the way we think. We're not supposed to just walk through the motions. When we want to walk in God's will, we're not just supposed to say the right things or even do the right things, but inside, that's not what we're really believing. And it says, once we change the way we think, then we will know God's will for us, for you and me. We can't on the outside do something, say something on the inside. Do something different. You guys remember that band from the 90s, early 2000s? They're still popular, DC Talk, right? Christian band, real big band. On their Jesus Freak CD, I think I've told you this before, but right before the song Jesus Freak, there was this little recording of a man's voice that said, one of the biggest causes of atheism is Christians. Those that confess Him with their mouth but deny Him with their lifestyle. Anybody remember that? It was huge. I was thinking about that. It's like being someplace in a crowd of people and having somebody walk up to you and you're with like a spouse or a friend and you turn and you say, oh man, here comes that guy. Oh, I just can't handle, you know, after what he did and everything. Oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah, things are great. How are you doing? Wonderful, great. Let's get together sometime. And he walks away and you're going, oh man, what a jerk. It's this double-mindedness that it's clearly that is not the will of God. Change the way we think. And the reason why I'm stressing this so big right now is to be in the will of God. It can't be merely surface actions. That's why I like that list. Back to the list. That's why I like that list. I look at it often. It was one of the very first things that I knew God was speaking to me about. I could identify with this list. I'm the type of person, I'm pretty blunt, like I said last week, I need to know this is right, this is wrong, this is what God's pleased with, this is what God's not pleased with. See, there was a time where I had those customs and ways. I had to change the way I thought. I've told the story once before when I was here, but I'm going to tell it one more time real quick. When I rededicated myself to the Lord again, like, you know, like 18, 19 years ago, I was praying and I was asking God, God, I'm not walking in Your will. I know I'm not. I can tell I'm not. I'm not happy. I'm not doing what You want me to. Show me something. What's in the way of me walking in Your will? And I was at this conference. And I just got laid out. I'm like, I'm laying on the floor. And I'm praying. And I clearly heard God said, you know, it's your music. It's the stuff that you worship. If you get rid of that, I'll give it back to you more than you ever could imagine. So I went home, and for years and years and years, since I was like, you know, 9, 10, 11, I was collecting all these things, and I still collect some stuff. But I had it as my God. It was like every moment I was just listening to music all the time, and it wasn't really music God would be pleased with. And I had books and posters and CDs and 8-tracks and cassettes and 33 and a third and all this stuff. I went home after just carrying this stuff with me for 20 years. I started dumping it. I just went, God, this is in my, it's in your way. This is my God right now, all this stuff in boxes. I used to catalog it and read it. I was obsessive, and I wouldn't spend any time with God. So I remember my wife telling me, you know, she's sitting on the bed. I could still see that her face is like, I'm just going into the, I couldn't get the stuff out of the house fast enough. And I'm running to the closet, and I'm like, it's taking stuff in boxes, and I'm just emptying it in the trash, and I'm tearing it and ripping it up. And she's looking at me, she's going, what are you doing? Slow down. I go, no, I got to get rid of this stuff. I'm out of the will of God. I have to move all this stuff. It's in my way. And she goes, no, I've been praying for this, but this is overboard. This is, you know, this is like a little too much. You know, what are you doing? Calm down. I'm like, no. God show this. I want to get in the will of God. And I'm like dumping stuff in the trash. I wanted to be in his will. And I had to ask myself, have I copied the behaviors of the world? Have I followed their customs and not God's customs? Is the way I think and my actions in my life, am I pleasing God? Yes or no? Do I say one thing and really feel something else? That's why I went to Galatians 5. That was the book that God showed me to be in his will. I didn't want that stuff in my life anymore. I had to stop and think. In Galatians 5:19, it says, anyone living that sort of life, there's a big word, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Inherit. And I started thinking about those two words, being in God's will and what we inherit. Our inheritance of being in God's will. And you may think I'm crazy, but I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. And I remembered this Twilight Zone episode. Does anybody remember Twilight Zone? I used to love that kind of stuff. Twilight Zone and Outer Limits, Night Gallery. I love that kind of stuff. And now I look back and go, oh, okay. But there were some stories are really good. And there's this one story that was kind of poignant. Does anybody remember the story about an elderly man that was about to pass away? And he called his two kids, a son and a daughter, that were adults, and they had adult children. So he had his two kids and his two grandchildren. And he called them in because they wanted to be in his will and get his inheritance. But the daughter was self-centered, whined and complained about everything, was never, ever happy. It was all about herself. The son was a businessman, greedy and all about material things, just the love of money. The granddaughter was really vain, just her beauty was blinding her to God's will. And she always looked at herself in the mirror. The grandson was a bully who enjoyed causing pain and hurting people and making people suffer. He was just mean. So the grandfather and the father, he basically said, to get my inheritance, you have to wear these masks. Does anybody remember this story now? Right, remember that one, Mike? Okay. So he makes them wear these masks. He said, to get my inheritance, you have to wear these masks until midnight. So when he was in the room, they would complain about being there and saying, we just wish he would move on already. But as soon as he rolled his wheelchair into the room, it was, oh, Dad, can we get you anything? How do you feel? You know, can I get you a glass of water? But he was gone. That's not what they were saying. You guys can see this coming, I think. At midnight, he passed away and they took off the masks. And underneath was an expression of who they truly, truly were. The vain daughter had a look of vanity. The mean grandson had a look of just meanness and anger. The businessman had a greedy look on his face, like he just wanted everything. And the person that complained about and his daughter that complained and whined about everything had a look of just unhappiness. That one stuck with me. It was worldly thinking on the inside. At the core, it was out of the will. On the outside, putting on some type of a pretense. That story stuck with me probably because I was kind of me for a long time. I remember going to church on Sundays, singing in church on Sundays, and I was a teenager and like in my early 20s. And then the stuff that I would do and hang out with my friends during the daytime, it's two different people. Romans 12:1-2, again it says, this is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In Ephesians, which is the book right after Galatians, it talks about striving to live in the will of God. I'm going to read it to you in two different translations. But the point is, being in the will of God and an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11-14. Therefore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan, his will. God's purpose was that so that we Jews who were first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that saves you. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. I'm going to read this in the message. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we even first heard of Christ, we got our hopes up. He had his eye on us, had designs on us for his own glory, for our own glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Listen to this part. It is Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation. You found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment of what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything that God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. All right, I'm going to break this down a little bit for you. Will and inheritance. The earthly meaning is like a person, children, family members, or friends that are in the will of someone who's going to move on to heaven, hopefully. They pass down their earthly possessions. The heavenly meaning of will and inheritance is a little bit different. God in heaven gave us something of value here on earth. Jesus, that gives us something of value. And if we accept Jesus, what we inherit is eternal life. We inherit heaven. Our inheritance from God is heaven. When we accept Christ in salvation, one has a temporary value and the other one has eternal value. Here's a highlight for you. And here's the main point about this. See, God gave us this inheritance through salvation, through Jesus. We did not have to work. We did not have to earn salvation. It's an inheritance with no strings attached. God did not say, clean up, do all the things right, be in my will completely, and then you get the inheritance. The only thing we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then being in the will of God, so does living in the will of God and striving for holiness and changing the way we think and avoiding the ways of the world, does that connect with the inheritance that God gives us? Yeah. It does. Here's the big point. Why are we spending so much time on saying, well, if we have salvation, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I inherit salvation, why is walking in the will so important? You know, why are we stressing walk in the will of God? Why does God say you won't inherit the kingdom? We need to make sure that we are walking in the will of God, not because we might lose our salvation or our inheritance. I'm going to wait. This is the big part. We need to make sure that we are walking in the will of God, not because we might lose our salvation or our inheritance, but because how can we show other people Jesus and explain the inheritance of salvation if we ourselves are out of the will of God? That's the connection between the will and the inheritance. How can we show people who Jesus is and we are out of God's will? How can we explain inheritance to them? We can't be effective witnesses of Jesus if our actions in our life are loaded up on the wrong side of the list. What is pleasing to God? List. And what living in God's will is, and showing people Jesus, is what God's will is for us, to show people who Jesus is. To strive and live in the will of God, we as believers, we're supposed to be instruments. We're supposed to be showing others the inheritance and salvation that God is offering. 2 Peter 3:9 talks about the day of the Lord is coming when Christ returns and how his timing, he's not late. I know a lot of people say, oh, come back, Lord, come back, hurry up. God isn't late. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to read this out of the message. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you. God's holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. That is why we are to change the way we think. We're to follow God's ways. We are to live in his will. We don't want to be out of the will because we want to show people the inheritance. It's not just for our own benefit. And living in the will of God, of course it's the better way to live. It's the only way to live in the will of God. But there's so many reasons to live in the will of God. It's the people out there, the people that may not know who Jesus is. They may not know the inheritance that's waiting for them. It's for the people in here too, so that we can go out and prepare ourselves and get ready to go out and witness for Christ. I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to give you some actions. So if you have notepads, pencils, paper, I'm going to give you some actions. These are the how-tos. So if living in the will of God and staying in the will of God is so important, not just for ourselves, but for everybody out there, so that they understand the inheritance, what are some of the how-tos? What are the actions that we can do? I'm actually going to give you a few. That will help ourselves. Stay in the will of God so that other people can see the inheritance. The first thing is, like my example, is there anything in front of your relationship with God? Look for it. Look at everything in your life and place God first. People, material, possessions, activities, anything that soaks up your time from God that you focus on, you need to reprioritize. Number two, put into practice what you've learned about God already. Pray that you can live out Galatians 5. Read Galatians 5. Have a clear understanding. This is what God is pleased with, and this is what God is not pleased with. And whatever you've learned, you put that into practice. You strive for it. You try. Number three, pray for God's wisdom and direction in every single thing you do. Be conscious of his ways every moment. Get to the point where you actually say something or do something. Go, oh, that was good. Oh, praise God. That was awesome. You know, that's a good thing. Or if you say something, go, oh, well, back up. I can't do that. Pray for the wisdom and direction in everything that you do. Number four, daily reading of the Word of God. We got to go to the Word of God, folks. We've got to read it, hear it. We have to do something. Whether it's devotionals, the daily devotional, whether it's you sign up for read the Bible in a year, go to the men's, women's Bible studies, go to classes, just soak in the Word of God. I I drive a lot, so I'm always, you know, playing a CD or something or listening to the Word of God when I drive. Any place you can get the Word of God. Number five, and I know these are all messages within this big message, and we've talked about this one specifically. Surround yourself with others who love the Lord. Friends, family, the people that are of the right influence, examples, mentors. These are just pretty much a recap of what we've been talking about the last several months about being in the will of God. We have to make decisions with the people around us. We just do. And it's hard enough to be at work sometimes. If anybody feel me on this one, feel free to raise your hand. And people around you are just cussing and swearing and just saying horrible, vulgar things. And just it's hard to shut your mind to that sometimes. So we need to surround ourselves with people that are good influences. Number six, last one. Do God's work. Don't just be hearers, but be doers of the word. Be involved in something. Be involved in service. Volunteer, outreaches, teach, community events, church activities. It's important for you to be here every Sunday. It's important for you to fellowship. It's important for you to bond with other people that are standing on the same foundation as you. That is really important. Do God's work. Get involved. And I'm not saying burn yourself out and try to do everything possible, but just start someplace. Start someplace. Strive to not just hear the word of God, but we need to place actions to our faith. Amen? Okay, I'm going to close with this. This is what we need to start praying about, church. We talk a lot. We have this feeling that something's coming. I don't know really what it is. This church here, the people here, you people are special. You're supposed to be here. Right now, you're supposed to be here. I know that we're going to get to the point where each one of us can go out and start taking real big ground for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You know, there's enough battles out there. We need to be ready. Walk in the will of God and be prepared to show people who Jesus is the right way. Strive to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Follow His will. Live the life that God has planned for us. And if we make mistakes, if we fall, those people that you surrounded yourself with that love the Lord, they'll help you get back up again. Be an example to others. The best example we can to show people what living in the will of God is like so they can see the inheritance of salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You know, and before I pray right now, I'm gonna ask everybody just to thank the Lord right now. Give him some praise and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. I thank you that what you reveal to us and you show us that we can walk out of here stronger than when we came in, Lord. That we can hear the word, we can hear your message that you have for us and walk out and feel empowered. We feel directed, Lord. We feel we're in your will more today than we were yesterday. So that we'll be more in your will tomorrow, God.
Hey everyone, this is Tommy from Rock of Life. I'm also a youth pastor and teen leader along with my wife, Mary. You can listen to Pastor Alfredo's messages here on KKXX at 12 noon Monday through Friday. You can also hit us up on our website at rockoflifechico.org to see Pastor Alfredo's messages on our YouTube channel link. And feel free to like us on Facebook. If you were inspired and blessed by today's message and would like to continue to hear more from Rock of Life on this radio program, visit our website, rockoflifechico.org, and support us with a one-time or monthly donation. At Rock of Life, we're a family, and everyone is welcome to come as they are, grow, or start your relationship with Jesus. Join us for weekly Bible studies for men, women, and teens, and check out the event calendar on our website for dates and times.
Thanks for listening, and see you on Sunday.